1043. No, it's not that. 1043. It ought to be 1045. Joseph and Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, long ago God spoke at various times and in different ways. This is one of the ways God spoke to us, by Joseph's example. This is what Pharaoh said to Joseph. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. This is what Jehovah said to Jesus. Pharaoh said to Joseph, only in the throne will I be greater than thou. 1 Corinthians 15 says, for he, God, has put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it's obvious that God is the only exception who put all things under his feet. Pharaoh said to Joseph, Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. In Revelation, John saw in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, robed in a garment that reached down to his feet with a belt of gold around his chest. Genesis 41:43, Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they, Pharaoh's servants, cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians and Philippians, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we, God's servants, persuade men that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Genesis 41:44, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Paul said of Jesus, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means the sun shines because Jesus is alive and well. You breathe in and out because Jesus is alive and well. You blink because Jesus allows you to blink. That's how much authority he has. All things consist because of Jesus. It's by his authority. Everybody is under Jesus. Somebody asked me one time, is it wrong to say Jesus is God? And I said, was it wrong to say Joseph was Pharaoh? Joseph was Pharaoh to everybody except Pharaoh. And Jesus is God to everybody except God. Just one exception in both cases. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. And when Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, he was about 30 years of age. And one more interesting thing that we can get into more later. Joseph's brothers were about to die of starvation. There was only one hope. Only one hope. And that was that strange guy that they didn't know anything about called Zaphnath-Paaneah that they'd heard rumors of down in Egypt. And Jesus' kinsmen in the flesh, the Jews, are going to come to a time where the beast and his armies have wiped out two out of every three Jews in all the land of Canaan, all the land of Israel. And there's no hope. The only hope that they'll have in that day is that strange guy named Jesus that they've heard about somewhere, sometime. And they look up in the sky about the time their women are being raped and the houses pillaged and Jerusalem burning, and they see a guy on a white horse coming with a bunch of other people on white horses. And he comes down to them and rescues them, and they fall down at his feet. And when they see the scars in his hands, they say, where'd you get... Who was powerful enough to scar you? And it says in Zechariah, he'll answer, these are the wounds I received in the house of my friends. And it says that they're going to mourn for him as if they had lost their only child. When God pours his conviction, when God lets the Jews who survive realize who Jesus really is and how much he really loves them, they're not even going to hardly be able to breathe for the grief at missing it. And when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, they could not even answer him. So overwhelmed. Paul said these things were written for our learning. And if Joseph doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, it's not for our learning because Jesus is our life. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. Amen. It's not a story of Joseph. It's a
just makes me want to honor Jesus. If he'll accept it, I'll give it. Praise God. Praise God.
Help us give acceptable praise to your Son. Oh, mighty God, blessed be your holy name. You have watched over us and kept us and saved us. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, God. 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 Feeding us when we were hungry. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Giving us light in our darkness. Having mercy on us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Look at all he's done. My. Love of God passes all understanding. I was talking to my father one time about the parable of the rich man in hell, looking at the poor man, and how Jehovah's Witness say, well, it's just a parable. It doesn't really happen that way. And my father told me, if it doesn't really happen, it's no good parable. Jesus based what he taught on the rain falling. That's real. Yeah. Catching fish, that's real. People do that. And people are in hell wanting deliverance from the pain and the thirst, the torment. That's real. That's real. Just because it's a parable. The heathen had to make up parables about mythological creatures and imaginary situations because it wasn't true. God uses real life as what you can see to teach you what you can't see. He's the master of this life. Amen. That's why we sing to Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He uses real people, real circumstances to teach you about things you can't see. Shows you how much in control He is. He didn't have to make up anything, Tim. He uses us. Amen. Guides the affairs of nations to teach His people to trust Him. Amen, amen, amen. I wrote this little chorus one time some years ago. And it's true about Jesus. I will sing in the morning to the King. Sing in the morning to the King. He's the master of mystery, the Lord of everything. And I will sing in the morning to my King. Glory to God. Sing in the morning the King of Kings. Sing in the morning to my King. He's the master of mystery. He's the Lord of everything. And I will sing in the morning to my King. Bring to me the things of this morning, burdens bear to the light of my sun. Let my people know that in me there is power. Hasten now, the morning has come, and I will sing in the morning to the King of Kings. Sing in the morning to the King. He's the master of all mysteries. He's the Lord of everything. And I will sing in the morning to my King. Amen. Amen. He created mysteries and then used them to teach us about His Son. And one of those mysteries was what He did with Joseph. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You thinking of another one? Are you?
Been out a-wandering now for a while, just living day by day, just walking mile by mile. I'm not sure where I'm going, but that's not my care, because I'm following Jesus, and I'll follow anywhere.
Amen.
I've been through some good times, I've been through some bad, but I tell you, here and now is the best life I ever had. It couldn't get much better, or so it seems, but God's blessings keep coming like something from my dreams. I'm out in this wilderness, but I'm in the Master's hand, and I don't know where I'm going, but I'm bound for Canaan's land. Met up with Jesus as I started down this road. He took away my burdens, He lightened up my load. He is my brother, my Savior, and my friend, and I hope to follow His way right to the end. Well, there are some others that got lost along the way. I'm hoping to meet up with them most any day. I take away their burdens and I take away those chains. Show them what it's like to feel real life and love again. I'm out in this wilderness, but I'm in the Master's hand. And I don't know where I'm going, but I'm bound for Canaan's land. Been out a-wandering now for a while, just living day by day, just walking mile by mile. I'm not sure where I'm going, but that's not my care, because I'm following Jesus, and I'll follow anywhere. I'm out in this wilderness, but I'm in the Master's hand, and I... In the Master's hand. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm bound for Canaan's land.
Chapter 41, verse 49. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he just quit counting. When an accountant runs out of numbers, it's way up there. For it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bare unto him. Joseph called the firstborn Manasseh, or forgetting. For God, said he, has made me to forget all my toil. He was so happy he had forgotten how bad it was. Praise God. I've heard testimonies like that before from some of you. Can't even remember how bad something was in the past, but how good it is now. God will make you forget. Glory to God. He will make you forget by loading you down with so many blessings you have to keep up with them. Amen. Forget all my toil and all my father's house. Jesus is so happy with the people who believe him now. God's made him forget. But he's going to go back to them. He's been satisfied with the ones that just believed him. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, that is fruitful, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he saith to you, do it. And anybody cries to God now, that's the response they're going to get. You go to Jesus. Whatever he says, do it. Oh, glory to God. Woo! That's what Jesus was prophesying about when he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. That wasn't Jesus claiming something. He was reporting what God had done. Just letting us know what God had done so we could be saved. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Money was pouring into Egypt. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, he didn't see it, he heard it. Jacob's still over here around Hebron, Beersheba area. And he hears rumors of travelers passing through, going to Egypt and coming back with food from Egypt. That Egypt is loaded. Jacob said to his sons, why do you sit around looking at each other instead of staring at these dead crops or the barren ground that won't bear any fruit? Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Right? This is Rachel's only surviving son. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Pharaoh had said, go to Joseph, and that's where everybody had to go who wanted food. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came down and did what? Amen. Just as the dream that God gave Joseph. Bow themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren. But you know how an Egyptian official looked, don't you? With all that makeup and all that paint, plus he's 13 years older. Egyptian hairdo, all decked out. Joseph saw his brethren, he knew them. But he made himself strange unto them and spoke roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Oya, Oya! And the interpreter over in the corner said, he wants to know where you're from. I mean, this is Zaphnath Paaneah here. You're not just dealing with anybody. And they said, we're from the land of Canaan. We've come to buy food, see, like everybody else. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph sat there. Can you imagine what kind of thoughts he was having? My Lord and my God.
Whew. You think he started to remember that God put this all together?
Mm-hmm. Joseph is putting the pieces together here now. But I taught this for years without realizing the key ingredient to it, which was the love of God. You can't understand what Joseph is thinking and planning. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what his plan was. I saw on Christian television, even the cartoons that they have about Joseph, how that Joseph was going to test his brothers to see if they were worthy for him to help. That is so far from the kind of spirit Joseph has. He's not testing anybody. He leaves that up to God who tested him. What Joseph is thinking is that he loves these brothers so much he would die for them. But he knows that if he tells them who he is, he'll never see them again. He knows that they don't know that God did it. They think they did it. And if he reveals his identity, even if he sends them so much food and even if he gives them money, he knows they're not coming back. So the only person in the whole world that he knows 100% was not involved in what happened to him being sold is his little brother. And his gears start cranking. How can he, number one, get Benjamin back? In Egypt, Joseph can't move to Canaan. Number two, do it in such a way to where these 10 men feel free to go back and forth. Otherwise, his daddy, if he's still living, and their families will starve. How can he be that kind to them so that they have confidence enough to come back and yet get Benjamin there with them? He doesn't want to embarrass them. He's happy that they think he's dead. Or they think he's gone, never to come back. He wants them to keep thinking that and yet have enough confidence in Zaphnath Paaneah to where they're not afraid to come back. And he has to go through a little bit of a process here to come up with a plan. Takes him a little bit of time. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed. And he's still speaking Egyptian now. He speaks to the interpreter. The interpreter speaks to them. And the interpreter said to them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And all the other people there buying food are listening. And all the servants of Zaphnath-Paaneah, everybody's starting to turn their head now to look at these 10 guys from a foreign land. And they said, no, my lord. But to buy food are thy servants come. We're all one man's sons. We're all brothers. We're true, honest men. Your servants are no spies. And the interpreter tells Zaphnath-Paaneah in Egyptian. Zaphnath-Paaneah speaks back. And the interpreter says, no, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said, no, thy servants are 12 brothers. We have 12 sons in our family, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the younger one, he's still with our father, and the other one's dead. That's Hebrew idiom. To say a child is not is to say he's dead. All the way through the Old Testament, you'll see, the children were not, or the something. It just means dead. Well, Joseph knows that they know better than that. And the interpreter told Zaphnath-Paaneah. Zaphnath-Paaneah spoke back, this is it that I spake unto you, saying you are spies. And his tone of voice makes everybody's ears prick. Stand up, their eyes open. And then he says, hereby shall you be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth from here unless your youngest brother comes here. This is just his preliminary plan. He fine-tunes it over the next 24 hours. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. During that 3 days, he wasn't comfortable with that. Just one person wouldn't be able to carry enough food for all the people still needing it. So he decided to come up with a different plan. After 3 days, Zaphnath-Paaneah's guard came, opened the prison door, and said, "The great Zaphnath-Paaneah will speak with you." And on the third day, they came into his presence and bowed down again. And his interpreter told them, "This is what the great Zaphnath-Paaneah has determined. This do and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison, and the rest of you go carry corn for the famine of your houses." Instead of letting one go and nine be in prison, Joseph has determined that nine should go and one stay behind. "But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die." And that's what they had to do. They were still standing in front of Zaphnath-Paaneah when they started talking among themselves in Hebrew, thinking nobody in that room could understand them. And they started talking to one another and saying, "Man, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. We saw the anguish of his soul, that he begged us and besought us, and we would not listen. Now God's done this to us. This distress has come upon us." And Reuben spoke up and said, "Didn't I tell you, don't sin against the child? You wouldn't listen. Therefore, behold, God is requiring his blood." So Joseph knows now that Reuben really intended to rescue him. He didn't know that before. "And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them by an interpreter. And when he saw that how they were still remembering him and knew they had done wrong, he walked out." When he walked out, everybody bows down till he gets gone. "He turned and wept and turned about from them and wept." He had to go off and cry. He didn't want them suffering like this. He didn't want them ignorant, blaming themselves.
John, at that time, that's when he realized that maybe his father and brother didn't have anything.
Not yet. Just Reuben. Just Reuben.
Reuben was going to come back for him.
Yep. "And he returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon." He chose Simeon. He probably would have chosen Reuben, except for that last sentence. Reuben was the firstborn son. Simeon was second in line. So the honor of being in prison until they got back fell on Simeon. And no doubt Zaphnath-Paaneah took good care of him. "And he bound him in front of their faces, before their eyes. And then Zaphnath-Paaneah commanded his servants in secret to fill their sacks with corn and to put everybody's money back in his sack." He wanted to make sure they had money to come back and buy some more food. He knew they were dishonest enough to where if they went back and found their money in their sacks, they had it in them to come back and pretend it was different money. He just wanted them to have it. Whether they were honest or dishonest was irrelevant. He wanted them to have food. "Give them provision, give them extra food to take care of them on the way. And thus did he unto them. So his servants laded their asses with the corn, and they departed thence with the corn they had. And then they got on the road. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass some food at a hotel or an inn they stayed in, he found his money." Just as just one of them now. The rest don't know. Their money's in there too. "One of them opened his sack." It was in his sack's mouth. "And he said to his brethren, 'My money is back. It's here. It's in my sack.' And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, 'What is this that God has done to us?'" We go back down there, and you didn't pay yours. He might think all of us didn't pay. He might think we all hid our money in our sacks. Now that would be bad. "And they came to Jacob, their father, into the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying, 'The man who is Lord over the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said to him, We are honest men, we're no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is dead, the youngest is back with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said to us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your houses, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know you are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and you shall have the privilege of trafficking in the land. You can come by and sell all you want to. And it came to pass, you know, that then they all emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, I send you to do one simple thing. Go to the grocery store. And now look. Me ye have bereaved of my children. Joseph is dead. Simeon is gone. He's not here anymore. And you want to take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spoke up. He spoke to his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee again. Deliver him into my hand. I will bring him to thee again. But he didn't trust Reuben. Reuben was a wishy-washy kind of character. Unstable. He tells him that right before he dies. He took the course of least resistance, and Reuben's noble promises of bringing him back or you could kill his two sons really didn't carry much weight with him, because Reuben didn't carry much weight with him. Later, when Judah does that, he has to take him up on it. And Jacob said, my son Benjamin shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he's left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So Joseph has to wait. We don't know how long, but it's a pretty good while. While his brothers and their families and his father get back to the desperation level again. The famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again and buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And he's the only one that can release the food. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, why'd you even tell him you had a brother? And he said, how'd we know what he was going to do? We were trying to convince him that we were all brothers. Tell him our... Look at this. This is so heartbreaking here. Verse 7. The man asked us very straightly. I mean, he asked us minute details. We knew he was trying to find out whether we were telling the truth or not. Joseph knew they were telling the truth. He wanted to find out how Daddy was doing. How this one was doing that he used to play with. How that. And instead of saying that, he said, if you have a father, is he alive? And he'd go on, ask question after question. Inside, Joseph was just bleeding as he found out the details. Who had died? Who was still alive? What had happened to this one? What had happened to that one? Phew. And they tell his father about that. He asked us straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according. We answered him the truth. Could we have known that he would say, bring him down to Egypt? We didn't. How could we have known that? And Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our children. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except if we hadn't lingered, we would have been back by now. And Israel has to cave in. It's either hold on to Benjamin and starve with him, or take the chance of sending him. And his father said, if it must be so now, do this. Take him a present. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels. carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds, and take twice as much money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it back down there. Maybe it was just an oversight. And then he has to break down and say, take your brother too. Go again to the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Boy, what a sad time for him. Watch Benjamin ride off with those to that man down in Egypt who thinks he knows something about him when he really doesn't know anything. And the men took the present. They took double money in their hand and Benjamin and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Or the Zaphnath-Paaneah. And Joseph saw Benjamin with them. He said to the ruler of his house, pick out these men. They were in a crowd, people buying food. Bring these men to my home and slay for them to eat. Make ready, and these men shall dine with me at noon. Now, what do you think they thought when Zaphnath-Paaneah's servant said, you, come this way. We're not spies. We're not spies. We're not spies. And the man brought the men to Zaphnath-Paaneah's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house. And they said, it's because of the money that was in our sacks at the times we brought it. We know what he's after. He's looking for a reason against us to fall on us and take us for slaves and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house. Joseph was the steward of Potiphar's house, overseeing everything. Now Joseph has a steward. And they came to the steward of Joseph's house and communed with him at the door. And they said, sir, look, we came indeed at the first time to buy corn. That's what we came for. That's all. We just want some food. And it came to pass, when we were on our way back at the inn, we opened our sacks. Well, they kind of summarized it. Just one of them opened their sack at the inn, but they, you know, let's just say it this way. We came to the inn, we opened our sacks, and every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full weight, every penny of it. And we brought it back again in our hand. And we brought other money to buy food. We don't know how the money got in our sacks. And the steward said, relax. Relax. Don't be afraid. Your God, maybe the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, so I have the record of it right here. And then he brought Simeon out of prison. Simeon came and said, boy, what took y'all so long? And Judah said, Daddy wouldn't let Benjamin go. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and they gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses food. Boy, they were really being given the royal treatment here as guests of the great ruler of Egypt. And they got their present together that Jacob had sent to this man before Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when the royal attendants started coming in the door at noontime, they knew Zaphnath-Paaneah would walk in any minute. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to the earth. And through an interpreter, he asked again of their welfare, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He's still living. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they bowed down their heads and made they couldn't do it enough. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, first time in 13 years, his mother's son. And he said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And they told the interpreter, yes. And in his own tongue, he spoke to Benjamin and said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And then he turned around and walked out. This is a strange situation for these shepherds to be in, herdsmen. Joseph made hay. He couldn't take it. For his bowels did yearn for his brother, and he sought where to weep. He entered into his bedchamber, his chamber, and just wept a little while. He did not want to make his brothers afraid. He wanted them to live and their families. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and commanded, and the shepherds started looking around, and then they saw him bringing food in and said, he must have said, set on food. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, for the Egyptians, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. That's an abomination to Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. Good grief. This is good. And he took them. Well, you know, they were set down according from the youngest to the oldest. I wonder if they were, part of the reason they were marveling is that this Zaphnath-Paaneah knew who was youngest and who was oldest. How to sit them. Boy, he was a great man.
They probably thought he really could be.
Woo. And Reuben's telling the rest of them, watch what you think, fellas. Watch what you think. And he took them and sent messes of food unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. They're having a good time. They must have drank right long. Probably got bold enough to tell that old joke of shepherds tell each other. Where'd you go to school to learn your occupation? I went to What's the Matter You? Or who was Chief Running Water's son and daughter? Hot and cold? They were having a good time just hanging around the table. Made merry with him. I wonder if they did some kind of tricks. You know, shepherds are full of tricks. And meanwhile, while they were relaxing, they thought everything was fine. He's talking to his steward in Egyptian. Fill every man's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. Again. And put my cup, this one right here, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word Joseph had spoken. So while they were having a wonderful feast, Joseph was working his plan to get Benjamin with him and let the rest go free and still feel good about coming back. And as the morning was light, soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away. So they spent the night there, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, not yet too far off, Joseph said to his steward, now go, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, why have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this the silver vessel in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby he indeed divineth? You have done evil in so doing. So here they go, taking off after them, and Joseph's and the 10 brothers are going down the road back from Egypt, back toward Canaan's land, feeling mighty relieved and happy and wonderful that he knows they're not spies, and they see a dust cloud behind them. And then they see it's a big group of tough-looking guys. And then they say, I wonder who they're after. Glad it's not us. Whew. And when they got to them, they stopped. And they started talking. And Zaphnath-Paaneah's interpreter, Stuart, said to them, he spoke to them what Joseph said, why have you returned evil for my master doing you so much good while you were in Egypt? Wasn't he good enough for you? To you? And they said, well, what? Why are you saying that? God forbid that thy servant should do what you said. But look, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought it again to you out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? I tell you what, they said, let me tell you, whoever has that, you let him die and we'll be your slaves. He said, all right, tell you what, I'll take you up on some of that. With whom it is found, whoever has that silver cup will be my servant. And the rest of you be blameless, can go on your way. And they said, well, we just hold on here. And they speedily got down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he started with Reuben and Simeon, then Levi's sack, and then Judah's sack. And they said, see there, see there. I don't know what they said about the money still being in there, but they might have not lifted up that lid too high. And went all the way down to the youngest. Reuben had already started packing his back up, and Simeon, they were ready to go. Let's get this over with. Check Benjamin's bag and let's go. And he reaches down in there. The servant does, and he reaches down and he lifts up a silver cup. Oh, I feel like they felt. You couldn't say anything. They just tore their clothes and laid at every man his ass, and they went back. They were not going home without Benjamin. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. He was there waiting. Boy, this guy knew we were coming back. And they fell before him on the ground. And Zaphnath-Paaneah said, what deed is this that ye have done? Didn't you know that a man like I can certainly see things? I can divine. Now, Judah's the one responsible for Benjamin, so he's the one most desperate at this point. Judah said, what can we say? In their minds, they're probably thinking these sons of Rachel have done nothing but cause us problems since the day they were born. Yeah. What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? I mean, we don't have any defense. God has found out the iniquity of our servants. Behold, we are my Lord's slaves. We and he also with whom the cup is found. They'd rather stay there and be slaves to this man than face daddy without Benjamin. They don't want to see what's going to happen to him. Zaphnath-Paaneah saith, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. I will not punish you for another man's sin. You are free to come back. He implies that too. And Judah said, you don't understand. He, please listen. That's what he just comes near and he begs him. Oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. He goes like this. You said, and then we said, and then you said, and then we said. He goes through the whole thing. My Lord has asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? We said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, a child of his old age, a little one. His brother is dead, and he's alone and is left of his mother, and his father loves him. And you said unto your servants, bring him down that I may see him. And we said to my Lord, he can't leave his father. His father will die of grief. And you said, unless he comes down, you'll never see me again. And so we came back, and I told our father, we told him, and our father said in verse 25, go again and buy food. We said, we can't go back and buy food without Benjamin. And thy servant, verse 27, said to us, you know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, surely he's torn in pieces. Animals got him, and I saw him not since. And now, whatever Judah says after that is irrelevant. Because now Joseph knows what his daddy thinks happened to him. He knows he'd had nothing to do with him being sold. He knows it now. Yeah, I doubt Joseph even heard whatever else Judah said. He just stood. He couldn't take it. Now try to imagine this. Here's Judah crying, sweating. All the brothers there was captured. Benjamin absolutely baffled. Terrible thing about to happen to all of them. Their family. The worst thing yet in their whole lives. And they're standing there before this man who can read minds. And all of a sudden, this man's looking at them. And the interpreter, Judah's pouring out his guts. And the interpreter's pouring them back out into him. And he's unmoved. And Judah mentions his father, thinking he's torn up by animals. And the man starts getting softer. And all of a sudden, this man hollers out an Egyptian. And all the Egyptian servants take off and run. And there's nobody left but 10 shepherds in that Zaphnath-Paaneah in this great big palace. Were we supposed to run? What do you do? And the great Zaphnath-Paaneah, tears start running out of his eyes. And he breaks down and cries with a loud voice, just boo-hoos. And the brothers are thinking, man, Judy, you can really tell a story. You are good. But that's not it. And this man comes down to them with tears pouring out of his eyes. And he opens his mouth in Hebrew. And he says, I am Joseph. And their breath left them. It says they could not answer him. They couldn't get any breath to come out of their body. There are only about 4 or 5 places like this in the Bible. This is the first. The other you'll read in 2 Samuel 10, 11 or so. When the prophet looks at David and says, you're the man. And another is when Peter curses and swears he never knew that man from Nazareth. And the cock crows. And then he looks over at Jesus with being spit on and thorns. And when the cock crows, Jesus hears it. And he turns and looks down at the courtyard, and Peter and Jesus are standing there looking at each other. Just a few places like this in the Bible. What power. You can't even describe the feelings. When the feelings get this strong, your conversation really isn't that logical. All Joseph could say was, is Daddy still living? I mean, he already knows. They already know he knows. He just felt like he wanted to say something. I am Joseph, your brother. Does my daddy still live? And his brethren could not answer him. They were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said, come near to me, please. And they took a few steps closer to him. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, that you sold into Egypt. But don't be sorry. Look at that. When you see what's happened to you from God to bring you here, you will look at the people who did it to you and say, please don't be sorry. Please don't be sorry. Kathy, tell your mother, don't be sorry. I needed that to be happy. I needed that to love God. That helped formed me into the blessed person that I am. Praise God.
Amen.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Don't be angry with yourself that you sold me here. God did it for a blessing. None of us are victims. None of us in Christ are victims. None of us need to be pitied. We're more than conquerors in Him. We're going to rule the world. God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has a famine been in the land. There's still 5 more years of famine coming. There's not even going to be enough rain to put out a bud. God sent me before you to preserve for you, your children, to keep your name alive. He sent me ahead of you to be your, act as your near kinsman and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you, brothers, that sent me here, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now go back now. Go back to my father and say to him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Praise God. God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me and don't hang around up there anymore. Praise God. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. That's the best land of Egypt. You see, Egypt, I've told you this before, the Nile, we haven't added this yet, but the Nile River comes down here. 95% of Egypt is nothing but hot, dry sand. Nothing but what they can foot with foot pedals used to be before revolution came, industrial revolution. Just water they could dump out of the river to water some fields until it hit this flat land up here and the river spreads out because it's not just one deep valley. Kind of flattens out, and that's got a lot of green pastures up there in the land of Goshen. That's the good part of Egypt. This is the dry part of Egypt. And he says, you can stay in the land of Goshen. I know you got cattle. Stay in the best part of the land. And thou shalt be near unto me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy house and all that thou hast come to poverty. Look, your eyes see. And then he looks at Benjamin, and the eyes of your brother Benjamin, my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Go tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and ye shall haste. Hurry up now and bring down my father here. And then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, they started getting some words out. What would they tell him? He's already told them not to apologize. And he is Zaphnath-Paaneah. Praise God. That's what Jesus is going to tell the Jews. They're going to feel so bad for demanding Him to be crucified. Don't be sorry. Look, I've rescued you. I'm the Savior of the world now. And He's going to kiss all of them that survive and are filled with His Spirit. Have no hatred in Him. No desire for vengeance in Him. And the rumor of this was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Joseph well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, you tell your brothers to do this. Load up your animals and go, get into the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your households. Come to me. I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded to this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt. Give them big wagons to take. Instead of traveling by mules. Take wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. And don't worry about your stuff. You can leave it here. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Wow. They were blessed because of Joseph. And the children of Israel did so. Joseph gave the wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. And to all of them he gave each man changes of clothes. Clothes were very important back then. Poor people didn't have clothes. They covered up what they could with rags they'd find here or there. But having clothes was a luxury. Especially good clothes. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. 5 suits. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away. Now what are they...